The choosing of the seven, Acts 6:1-7. In those days, when the numbers of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in their daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." Delegation. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith.
I mean, this is something that we're looking at the moment, isn't it? Just praying about who we can choose as our deacon as Louise at the end of the year steps down. It's more about character it is than the sort of talents that you have. And so it's something that we are praying about at the moment. So what gifts of the Spirit were needed for the deacons? Wisdom, the gift of wisdom, yeah. And did they have more than that when it says the proposal pleased the whole group? They chose Stephen, who happened to be a man full of faith. Yeah. And so we're looking here at the wisdom. They had to be filled with the Spirit, and they needed wisdom and they needed faith. What do you think the church needed to know the mind of Christ in this situation? Discernment. Yeah. Anything else? What gift of the Holy Spirit do we think? Discernment. Yeah. Patience, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Maybe even a word of knowledge to start with, to say who do we, I mean, of all the people that we've got here, there was 3,000 got saved on that day. I don't think 3,000 were in the church at that point. They'd scattered, but, there was a lot of people around. You know, rather than sort of going through every one, a word of knowledge of these are the ones that we need to pray about. We need wisdom, we need discernment to know how to actually choose the people. Yeah? Everyday functioning of the church, a healthy church, requires the gifts of the Spirit. Yeah? And so it's really great that we get to talk about this over the next couple of weeks. The purpose of the gifts of the Spirit are to build God's kingdom on earth, creating a healthy, growing community of disciples that make other disciples. That's the point. A healthy church uses the gifts, yeah? A healthy and growing church ends up, if you end up using the gifts, you'll find that people get saved, because there's gifts of evangelism. Yeah, there's gifts of preaching the word. People will get saved. And as you saw, this was just an example. And in your home groups, you're going to be looking at some other examples in Acts just to see how does the church function healthily using gifts. Because we see in Acts 6 here that Jerusalem faced the complaint of discrimination against the administration of daily welfare. Did you know that administration is a gift? Yeah. And so, do you know what I mean? They lacked the gift of administration. And so we have the apostles that urge believers to seek out godly, spirit-filled people with the spiritual gift of wisdom. In other words, people who can handle opportunities as well as handle problems. That's what we're looking for in our next deacon. The church, to function in a kingdom way, though, required the gifts, as you say, words of knowledge, discernment, wisdom, integrity, so that they could together determine the mind of Christ. I don't know about you, but I have been in many meetings, in work and in church, to be honest with you, where the decision-making is carnal. Do you understand what I mean by that? It's just done in the flesh. It's done by not seeking what the Holy Spirit is saying, but actually just seeking or understanding from past experiences. Yeah, and understanding in the flesh. I don't want us to be a church like that. That's not healthy. So we need the gifts to function in a kingdom way. And what is the result of the church operating in the gifts of the Spirit? The result was, and this is phenomenal, isn't it? An increase in the ministry to the vulnerable. In other words, justice. There was an increase in prayer. There was the ministry of God's word was increased, and the number of disciples being made increased. The outcome of the use of healthily use of spiritual gifts is that the church will grow. Yeah? And that's what we're aiming to do here. So, you know, as I said, you will be looking at the book of Acts and just realizing how often and how necessary these gifts are for a healthy church. You see, the gifts given by the Holy Spirit are there to enable us to be healthy, growing kingdom communities. And Paul writes about these gifts, not just to the Corinthians. He writes to the church in Rome. He writes to the church in Ephesus. In other words, this isn't just for one church. This is for the church. Yeah? The gifts are to be used within the church. And today, my goal is just, I want to lay a foundation. Just 5 points. You'll know when I'm coming to the end, therefore. Do you know what I mean? 5 points of, can we just start beginning thinking about these gifts and what they are? And before I move on from the introduction, I just wonder, have you ever experienced a dreadful sermon? A sermon that really distorted the word of God and just was awful. Put your hand up if you ever have experienced a bad sermon. Yeah, please don't say it was me, but do you mean if you've ever experienced a bad sermon? And if it is, talk to me later, all right? Have you ever experienced a worship time where it seemed that the band or the person leading was trying to glorify themselves as opposed to God? Put your hand up again. Have you ever experienced that? All right. But has it made you think, oh, we can't have sermons and worship in our church services? No. But I find it really interesting that you may have experienced the misuse and abuse of spiritual gifts. And then we're like, oh, we can't have that in our church. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Can we have the same attitude as like, yeah, that was just a poor sermon. Yeah, that was just a poor, you know, worship time. It didn't glorify God. And maybe we are going to make mistakes when we use the gifts, especially if you're a church new to this. Next week, I'm going to preach on the protocols of the gifts. So in other words, before we start using them in our services and more so in our house groups, the idea is to say there are some biblical protocols that help us be a healthy church that operates in the gifts. Yeah? But this week, it's more about us. It's more about our attitude. And so there has been misuse and abuse of gifts in churches, but that should not stop us saying, I still want to experience gifts of the Spirit in and through me in a way that is healthy and honors others and builds our church up. So point one, and this is the most important point. If you fall asleep later on, that's okay. This one is what we need to put in place, yeah, before we move on to the others. And I've gone back to the King James Version because I feel like that word is a better use of that word from the Greek. 1 Corinthians 12:31 says, but covet earnestly the most excellent gifts. And I was really challenged by this. I mean, the word covet can be used in a negative sense, can't it? But this is used in a positive sense, and it means, are we burning with zeal for the gifts? Are you zealous for them? Are you desiring earnestly the gifts? Are you zealously cultivating, if you look at the Amplified Version? Are we seeking after the gifts? See, when you covet something, in a bad way, you know, or in a good way, you're thinking about it. You wake up in the morning and you want it. You're thinking about it during the day. At night, you're thinking about it. You know, you may even dream about it. Yeah? That's what we're designed to do, is covet earnestly the gifts. And I want to challenge you, because I challenge myself on this. Is that genuinely your attitude? Possibly not. Possibly that's why it was recommended that we actually do this as a church. But until we covet, earnestly desire, zealously want these, we're not going to have them. Yeah? But actually, it's the way that God has designed us to be a healthy church. You know, it's like the Holy Spirit saying, I've got all this to give you. What are you going to do about it? And it's a simple thing. I mean, we know this from Luke. We know the passage. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's gifts to those who ask? Ask. And what is the promise there? You'll get them. You'll get them. Because you have a Father and a Holy Spirit who is longing. You know, Jesus is like, wait for the Holy Spirit. He's going to be fabulous. He's going to be greater than me. Why? Because then we've got loads of Christ-likeness people, 2 billion on the planet at this moment in time, actually operating in the gifts just as Jesus did. What are the most excellent gifts? What do you think are the best gifts? Is that a gift or is that a fruit? Fruit. Fruit. The best gift is the one you need in that moment in time, is it not? Do you know what I mean? I remember somebody came to me and said to me, you've just told me about the testimony of your knees being healed miraculously. Yeah, so that you could start trekking in the Himalayas again after being a cripple. She said, therefore, can you pray for my knees? I was like, boy, Lord, I really need the gift of healing in this moment in time, because, do you know what I mean? And I need the gift of faith, you know, really. And I need the help in my prayers here. Yeah. Can you see the best gift is the gift that you need at that moment in time? When we're trying to think of the future for the church, what gift do we need? What do we need when we're thinking about what the Lord has for the future of the church? Wisdom and prophecy would be awfully handy, would it not? You know, because the prophecy this is what is going to happen in the future. Do you see? Yeah. So the best gift, my best theological answer to this is the best gift is the one that you need at that moment in time. And the Lord says, if you ask, he will give it to you. Yeah. He will, if you ask, if you covet earnestly. And I'm just going to stop for a minute, because I think you need to actually have a little chat with God. Will you, are you willing to say, actually this week, Lord, I'm going to covet earnestly. I'm going to desire earnestly, you'll find in the NIV. I'm going to zealously cultivate, which is also in the Amplified. I'm going to seek after the gifts. I'm just being quiet for a minute. What's the Lord saying to you? Thank you, Lord, that as Dave said earlier, you will transform our hearts. And Lord, I know my heart desires to earnestly desire to cultivate these gifts so that we can be a healthy and a growing church. Help us not forget this week. Help us be protected from Satan trying to rob us of this thought. But help us move towards understanding further and desiring your spiritual gifts. In Jesus' name. Amen. The second important point is every one of you has gifts. Whether you like it or not, you've got gifts. Yeah? Each one is given that manifestation. Everybody, yeah, who is a child of God, you have that ability, yeah, to have not just one, but a number of those spiritual gifts. Nobody is left out. You know, that's 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, now each to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for common good. Or Romans 12:6-8, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Yeah, every one of you has gifts in here. And actually, how are we going to discover the mind of Christ? How are we going to be a healthy church if we don't believe and act on that? You see, God has a purpose and place for absolutely every one of you. You may not believe that, but it's true. He has a purpose and a place for you in this body of Christ, in the body of the church in Pulborough. Yeah, we have a part to play. And we are meant to carry different gifts and together use them for God's purposes and plans to be revealed and to be accomplished. None of you should have an inferiority complex, therefore. Everyone's got gifts, all right? No inferiority complex. The other thing is that is an absolute killer. If you start comparing yourself, saying, oh, I don't have the gift of teaching like Judith does, well, praise God, because you're not meant to. The idea is you've got the gift that you're meant to have, yeah? And it's to release that. If you start comparing yourself to other people, you will end up either feeling superior or inferior, as opposed to who God designed and created you to be. If this is a focus, remember, this is about us this week. Will you covet? And will you actually say, no, I've got gifts, and I don't want to feel inferior that my gifts may be serving. Oh, my goodness, one of the best gifts out there. Or administration. Oh, Lord, we really need that in the church. As Louise leaves the team, do you know what I mean? The leadership team. Boy, do we need administration. Yeah. These are the gifts that we need at this moment in time. So can we have an attitude of, Lord, help me experience the gifts that I have? You see, what happens quite often is, oh, those are for the book of Acts. Those aren't for now. And if we haven't experienced something, I mean, some of you may have never experienced a gift of tongues. But the idea is, can we elevate our experiences to match God's word as opposed to say, I've not experienced it, so it doesn't exist? Do you see the different attitude? Can we just say, this is what God's word says? So these are the gifts. There's 21 you'll find on your table. Do you know what I mean? These are the gifts, and we will have them. Yeah? Just because we haven't seen or experienced them yet doesn't mean to say they don't exist. And the gifts, number three, the gifts are assigned by the Holy Spirit for the common good. They are for good, not individual glory. Did you note that? It's for the common good. I don't know about you, but it's pretty amazing. I think the first time and the only time I've ever interpreted in tongues, I felt really proud of myself. I was really impressed. I've never been able to do it again. I think because my attitude was totally wrong. Do you know what I mean? It was one of those where I was just sort of thinking, look at me. I've finally done this. I've finally, you know, managed and achieved that. Because it's one of those things that freaked me out. If somebody started speaking in tongues and gave a word, I was like, Lord, what's the message? Somebody else. But you see what happened? It was my individual glory. And as I say, I trust the Lord, he'll give it to me if I need it again. But I don't want it for our individual glory. It's common good. And these spiritual have been for the benefit of others. And I don't know about you, but I'm beginning to imagine a church where the gift of encouragement is there every Sunday. I'm beginning to to look at a church that the gift of helps and mercy and faith is just evident throughout the body of Christ. I'm looking for a church where somebody has a word of knowledge. Did you know that? I was 2 when I had my first word of knowledge. And there's a little story that maybe I'll tell you later on, but it's, do you know what I mean? It's just, you know, any age can have a word of knowledge if the Spirit is there and gives you that word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. And it's all to benefit us for God's glory. That's the kind of community I want to live in. That's the kind of church I want us to be. Ephesians 4:11-13 said, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. When we operate in the gifts we are given, it results in everyone being built up. No tearing down in the church, no feeling inferior or superior, no comparing ourselves. Everyone is built up. When we operate in the gifts, they are used to bring us to a unity of faith to say, yeah, that's where we're going. This is how we at PBBC are going to bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. You see, we cannot attain the sort of higher reaches of the Christian faith in isolation. We have to be with our fellow believers. We have to come together so that we can exercise and grow in these gifts together. And it says in this passage, it says, when the gifts are being used, we gain a greater knowledge of Jesus, the Son of God. And when the gifts are being used, we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That means we get it. We're beginning to understand because you reflect an aspect of Jesus Christ. Barbara reflects an aspect of Jesus Christ. Karen has gifts and represents an aspect of Jesus Christ. Every single one of us does. And suddenly it's like, oh, Christ is like that. Oh, my goodness. You know, we've got an African contingent in this morning. Do you know what I mean? You have something from that land and that nation that is different from ours. You represent something different in this body of Christ here in Paulborough. Yeah. So to enable us to have that understanding of the fullness of who Christ is. We together can help each other exhibit Christ-likeness. And to do that both in our work and our leisure time, because all of that will bring glory to God. Perhaps a more sobering thought is we will be held accountable. You all have gifts, but are we actually using them? We will be held accountable for the gifts that we have been given. 1 Peter 4:10 to 11 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. We are called and designed to use the gifts that God has given us, and that means taking risks. We will make mistakes, but we will learn and grow through those mistakes. Next week, as I say, I'm going to try and minimize the mistakes because we're going to look at the sort of biblical protocols of how we actually use that. We will be held accountable for the gifts that God gives us. Yeah? And we've been given them for God's glory. You know the story of the talents, the parable of the, I don't need to tell you. Yeah? We will be held accountable for the gifts that you have. Lastly, what's the difference between the gifts and the fruit? Yeah? Because sometimes we can get muddled up what they're about. First of all, the gifts have to do with service. Yeah? The gifts are given you to serve one another, to serve our community, to serve our nation. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians has to do with character. It's to do with your character of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness and self-control. The gift is given you for an end. Do you know what I mean? It's like you've got this gift, like that lady who came to me and asked for her knees to be healed. I prayed for her knees. She came back because I was doing a conference in Nepal at the time. She came back 2 days later and said they are healed. Praise God. Nothing to do with me. It's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? But the Holy Spirit gave me that gift at that moment in time to see a miracle happen and healing happen. It's a means to an end. But the fruit of the Spirit is the end product. The idea is that we are like this for Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. The gifts are what a person is given from without. The Holy Spirit gives you this gift to serve. Yeah? Whereas the fruit of the Spirit is something that we're meant to produce within us. The gifts are plural. Different gifts to different people. But remember, it is the fruit, not the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, all are essential. You don't opt out of, oh, I don't have self-control or I don't have gentleness. It's one fruit that is essential to have all of those listed after the one fruit. All gifts are not possessed by every believer. Yeah? But we are all, as believers, meant to operate in the fruit of the Spirit, in all of the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc. And we know that the gifts will cease. They're for now. They have a purpose now. They don't exist in heaven. We don't need them. Yeah? But we know that this concept of love, the fruit of the Spirit, is permanent. It lasts. Yeah? The fruit in us lasts. But the possession, and I think this is what we have to want, that's why I've done the fruit and the gifts. The idea is that the possession of the gift does not mean to say you are godly. Samson, do you remember the story of Samson, who was given the gift of strength? And in the latter part of his life, he continued to perform this amazing gift of strength long after he'd been out of touch with God. Yeah? And that is when the misuse and abuse comes in, isn't it? When we actually are functioning in this gift, but we're not doing it in the fruit of the Spirit. And we'll look at that as a protocol next week. There's another example in Scripture. There were two quarreling women. I'm sure that never happens. But at Philippi, and when Paul exhorted, you've got to make up, girls. Do you know what I mean? Come on. They had previously seen many people saved. They'd done the gift of evangelism. Do you know what I mean? But what he's saying now is, like, you may have the gift of evangelism, but you're busy quarreling. You know, that isn't the fruit of the Spirit. It is essential to have the fruit of the Spirit to operate healthily in the gifts of the Spirit. Without the fruit of the Spirit at the core of who we are, the gifts we have will end up being used and abused. But remember, just because we've seen that or maybe experienced that doesn't mean to say we don't covet them, because Scripture says to covet them, to believe that you have gifts, to ask for more. So let's conclude. The purpose of the gifts of the Spirit are to build God's kingdom on earth, creating a healthy, growing community of disciples that make other disciples. We are to covet, oh Lord, please help us do that this week, covet earnestly the gifts. We are to recognize that every single person in this room has gifts from the Spirit. The gifts are for the common good, to mature the church, to glorify God through our unity and Christ-likeness. We are to be held accountable at the end, remember, for how we use the gifts that God's given us. And the gifts are different from the fruit of the Spirit. We have the same Holy Spirit that is throughout the book of Acts. In fact, right from the beginning in Genesis, same Holy Spirit. The same gifts, 21 listed on your table, are available to us today for the church. My challenge, my question to you is, PBBC, will we covet and use the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us?